handoff Adrian. Spurts through the line of scrimmage to the right side. Busts it outside to the 45 to the 50. Adrian Peterson is loose! It's on the 2010 touchdown!
It's Vikings Live at Winter Park, presented by Sports Authority on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Vikings Live at Winter Park is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, Continental Diamond, Quick Trip, and by Sports Authority, the official sporting goods retailer of the Minnesota Vikings. Now, from the Sports Authority studios at Winter Park, here's the voice of the Minnesota Vikings, Paul Allen.
Good evening and welcome to Vikings Live at Winter Park from the Sports Authority Studios. I'm Paul Allen, joined weekly at this time by Minnesota Vikings head coach Leslie Frazier. And the interview with head coach Leslie Frazier is provided by Sports Authority, the official sporting goods retailer of the Minnesota Vikings and founding partner of Sports Authority Studios at Winter Park. Good evening, Coach Frazier. How are things?
Hey, Paul.
Hey, with the couple extra days you had, maybe you can call it a mini bye, but after the Tampa Bay game, what was the coach's approach to the extra time off? Was it a brief opportunity to tear it down, take a peek at it, maybe look at some tells that you're putting out there for other teams and reconfigure it into the Seattle game?
That's about what we did, Paul. We went back and looked at ourselves a little bit with the time that we had and tried to do a little self-scout and try to evaluate and look at what some of the other teams are looking at that we're about to play.
Do you ever come up with stuff like that, either now or during the bye, where you're like, whoa, we're doing this out of shotgun too much, or whoa, we're doing this when Percy's over here too much?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we actually found some things in this self-scout period that we looked at and said, you know what, we need to change this a little bit and move this in this direction. And the same thing will happen when we do have our official bye a little bit later in the season.
You being a former defensive coordinator, now a head coach, former defensive player for a championship team, when teams get gouged in the running game, it becomes a pride thing, doesn't it?
Oh, without question. When you want to be a good defense, that's one of the things you want to be able to hang your hat on, that you can defend the run. And our guys have a lot of pride. They've had a lot of success in the past in defending the run. And you're right. It does attack your pride a little bit.
Because so much of it is physical. I mean, granted, you've had more missed tackles the last three games, really, in my opinion, than you had the first five total. But when you have guys moving guys and guys putting bodies on guys and they can't get off tackles and everybody watches that back, it's kind of like, come on, you just got to try a little harder.
Oh, it's tough as a teammate to see some of your teammates not where they're supposed to be or not getting off of blocks. They all have a lot of pride. So when they're watching that tape as a unit and they see certain players not doing their jobs, I don't know if it can be much tougher than that as a player. So that is enough to usually wake guys up and get them where they're supposed to be.
You're very prideful in what you do, and you know, you've built a team with a lot of people who are very prideful in what they do, and that's something that's obviously will lead to success one day. Now, with that said, the way the Buccaneers game went, nationally televised game at home, and it was a blowout. Did anybody have to be reminded that this is just one game? It feels like five losses in one, but it's only one loss, and guess what? We're still 5-3.
Well, I did talk to our team about that. You know, we still have a relatively young team. We're going through, at times, some uncharted waters, and that was one of them, and being able to play on national TV. So for our players, I did have to remind them of just that. You know, we're in a good spot. We just need to get back and play like we're capable of playing and not let that one game linger on to other games.
How do you feel the identity of the season has been so far at 5-3? You're a bottom-line guy. You have a winning record. Personally, I think it's been a wonderful start.
It's been a good start, and there are some things that we want to achieve as a team, and we understand that this second half of the season, as we're about to enter it, we want to start off with a bang. You know, we want to go on the road and get a win, and that would be a great way to start off the second half of the season.
Oh, at Seattle, now Russell Wilson from Wisconsin, the rookie quarterback. You had him at the Senior Bowl. What'd you learn about him?
You know, he actually ended up, Paul, being the captain of our team, which tells you something in itself. For the 1 week that we were together,
Yeah. We
all felt like he was the guy that displayed the best leadership for our entire offense. So he's a guy who we knew had the charisma to be a very good quarterback. He's done an excellent job there with Seattle to come in and win the starting job. And we're seeing some of the things we saw at the Senior Bowl, the strong arm, the mobility, the command, the leadership. It's all on tape.
So did he go in the third round strictly because of his height?
I think more so than anything, it had to be his height, because he had all the intangibles and he had the tools to be a big-time quarterback. But The height was a knock on him.
Boy, that Senior Bowl, you can really learn a lot about guys you want to draft. For instance, Harrison Smith. I mean, you got the feel for Harrison there, completely clamped down on it in the offseason, didn't hear a word about him. Right. Then you traded up to get him, and he's having a terrific year.
Yeah, that Senior Bowl, in a lot of ways, was a plus for our staff and our organization. We were able to identify some guys we thought could help us. Audi Cole was one of them as well, who we had a chance to work with, and there were others. And so it was definitely a positive for us.
You've seen some very good running backs and running games this year. I mean, that trick that they pull off in Washington with the read option, that was obviously very unique. You've seen Chris Johnson did a great job against him. Frank Gore and the 49ers came into your spot, averaging 167 a game. You absolutely handled that challenge. Mm-hmm. Marshawn Lynch and this running game, what's it like compared to some of the others you've seen?
Well, Seattle runs the ball very well. I mean, they're averaging 130-something yards a game, and we'll have to be stout against the run. We'll have to get back to playing good run defense. He's an excellent running back, does a great job of breaking tackles. Their offensive line is doing a terrific job and open up holes for him. So it'll be a tremendous challenge for our run defense.
Sidney Rice, the former Vikings receiver, caught a touchdown against Detroit, had a huge one against the New England Patriots. Physically, what does he look like? Does he look as fast as he used to be?
He does. I mean, he seems to be healthy now. He's making a lot of plays for their football team down the field, on the intermediate routes as well, and he's become their number one target as a receiver.
Their secondary, Leslie Frazier, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings on Vikings Live at Winter Park. Their secondary, Brandon Browner. Where did he come from?
Brandon is one of those guys, Paul, who is a big defensive back. He's about 6'3", long arms. Another guy, Richard Sherman, as well. Both of those guys are big defensive backs who really can stifle an offense because of what they're able to do in press coverage. So both guys are terrific players.
And back up, from a safety standpoint, Cam Chancellor and Earl Thomas, how do they complement their cornerbacks?
You know, Cam, they're probably using a little bit more from a in-the-box situation. He's not a guy that plays in the deep as much, but he's a guy who is a ferocious tackler, almost a linebacker in a lot of ways, whereas Earl, he's more in the deep middle of the field. He's a guy who has great anticipation, great ball skills, makes a lot of plays on the ball down the field.
First week of practice this season without Chris Cook, so you have to shuffle the secondary, Winfield, Josh Robinson, A.J. Jefferson, Marcus Sherrills now probably goes to your dime spot. Life without Chris Cook, what's it been like?
Well, you know, Chris was doing a very good job for us. He was really coming along in a lot of areas, so it was encouraging for us. But one of the positives about our football team this season is we think we have quality depth in our secondary, unlike some years past. So it gives other guys a chance to step up. We think Josh has gotten some great reps during the course of this season. A.J. Jefferson now gets a chance. And as you mentioned, Marcus Sherrills will probably get more play as well. So it just means that there are more opportunities for other players.
You guys traded for A.J. Jefferson right in front of the season. What did you like about him?
You know, we liked his length, liked his speed. He showed some toughness. And his coverability, show good man-to-man coverability, and we kind of lack that a little bit.
Still no touchdowns for Jerome Simpson. Is he frustrated?
I don't know if he's frustrated to the point where it's affecting his game. He'd like to get more opportunities, and we're going to continue to try to, you know, get him more opportunities. We're doing some things to try to get him to football. We just haven't connected as often as we'd like.
And when you say get more opportunities, does that mean just opportunities or deep opportunities?
A combination. We definitely want to be able to hit him on some deep balls. You can see in watching our games, we're trying to do that. But we also want to hit him on some intermediate routes and get the ball in his hands, because he does have some run at the catch capabilities.
You know, you can see, Leslie, in that Tampa game, even with the first play, you know, in watching the game back, how football is the ultimate team game, because Ponder floated out to the right. There's Michael Jenkins in single coverage right in front of your bench. And it looked like, you know, Christian was going to try to find him, kind of like in the Green Bay game, his debut last year, make something happen. Something happened with defensive end Michael Bennett, who was on Christian, who had to throw it away. So A has to get to B, there's just so many things have to happen just to make one play transpire.
You're exactly right. And sometimes when people ask, why aren't you getting the ball to this person more? Why aren't you doing this more? There are other factors involved other than just calling a play. And you just mentioned it. You gave a great example of what can happen even though you're targeting a specific player. There are other things that have to come into play in order for that play to be successful.
What do you think the team learned off the Tampa game? What do you think was most eye-opening?
You know, one of the things about that game that you hope will happen is as we move forward and we look back, we'll be a better football team because of that experience, being on national TV, playing on, in a night ball game, at home, just being able to handle that situation a little bit better as we go forward.
The progression of Christian Ponder, what's the next step?
I think for Christian, just continue to get turns, opportunities, being able to line up at quarterback and see some of the different styles of defenses that he's going to face as a quarterback, and continued growth. And the only way that happens is if you gain experience, and he's doing that.
The rush defense has allowed 468 yards over the last three games. You're 1-2 during that time. Been missing some tackles of late, too. How do you fix that in terms of missing tackles, specifically over the last three into the Seattle game? Because through the first five games of the season, doing the radio show or just talking to friends or doing the broadcast with Pete Bursich and Greg Coleman, we would brag about, through the first five games, this is maybe one of the better tackling Vikings teams we've seen in X amount of years. Few penalties offensively and defensively, and then the tackling fell off. How do you fix that?
Well, you continue to work on the fundamentals of what you do, and you continue to harp on the things that are necessary to play good run defense. And we had a chance in this mini-bye that we had to go back and hit some things that we think are important to playing good run defense, and now we'll get a chance to see how effective that's been.
Kyle Rudolph has five touchdowns this year. Absolutely fantastic first eight games for him. Mm-hmm. It's slowed down a little of late. Are you seeing different defenses against Kyle, or is Christian missing him?
Well, people are trying to do some things a little bit different because of Kyle's success, and we'll have to adjust a little bit, and we are doing some things, but they're going to try to take Kyle away. We understand it, much like what they do with Percy, and we have to have some alternatives, and we think we will.
Last one, John Carlson. Did he practice today?
No, John has not been cleared yet of his concussion.
Yeah, that's gone from a bad luck story to a saga. Mm. You know, because you're going back to Seattle, man. I mean, you know how badly people would like to do some damage to their former team, and we've talked about it before, either privately or here. You know, he comes here, Litchfield guy, gets hurt at the wrong time. The quarterback's making friends during training camp and preseason. You know, then tries to get it going. Then this happens, and he can't even play against the Seahawks. I really feel bad for the guy.
Yeah, I mean, John is a great, great kid, and it's unfortunate because he wants to go back and play against his old team. You know it in the worst way, and it's unfortunate timing. But hopefully we'll get him back here soon, and he'll be a great contributor to our offense.
When you watch the Seahawks offense in closing, Daryl Bevel, the offensive coordinator, do you see any flavor to their offense that you remember from here?
Well, the success they're having running the football with Marshawn Lynch reminds me of the success we've had in our history here with Adrian. They're doing a great job of running the football.
And in closing part two, what really excites me about this game, they're going to kick it to Percy Harvin. I mean, Steven Hauschka does not nail it out of the end zone as well as Kanan for the Buccaneers or some of the other kickers, including your guy, Blair Walsh. But they only give up the average starting position for the opposition's the 19-yard line. So they really take pride in kicking it to the guy and saying, we're either going to make you fumble it or we're stopping you inside the 20, and we have Percy. That's going to be fun.
It's going to be a great matchup. They've got the best kickoff cover team that we faced all season long. Their longest that they've given up is 29 yards. So, jeez. You know, and so that's a little bit different than what we faced, but we're excited about the challenge, but this will for sure be our best challenge of the season.
Excellent, excellent challenge this weekend. Tremendous start to the season. 5-3 at the midway point. Best of luck this weekend, and thanks for the conversation.
All right. Thank you.
Minnesota Vikings head coach Leslie Frazier, Jared Allen coming up a little later, and I'm Paul Allen. This is Vikings Live at Winter Park on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Welcome back. It's Vikings Live at Winter Park. We remind you to protect the football at Buffalo Wild Wings. It's football the way it should be. Play the VIP scratch game, and you could win a VIP experience, Buffalo Wild Wings discounts, and more. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports, and tight ends coach Jim Johnson joins us now. Hello, Jimmy. How you been, my friend?
Just fine. How's it going?
Good to see you, man. 5-3 start. I know you probably got that Buccaneers thing in the rearview mirror. 5-3 start. Talk about it. How do you feel about the season so far?
Feel great. It's funny how you talk to people outside of this building, and you know, you find people that are surprised or shocked or amazed that we're at where we are at this stage in the game at 5-3. And but not to us. I mean, we knew all along that we was going to come in and we was going to do some positive things. And it's no surprise to us where we're standing right now.
Well, that's why it's unfortunate to call this a full rebuild, because like doing the radio show up to the season, I thought you guys would be 6-2 at the midway point, 7-3 after 10. But I didn't want to make a season-long prediction, because when we have those creature games coming up, and we'll see where we stand at the end of the season. But 5-3 as of right now. But it's tough to say it's a full rebuild job when you have guys like Adrian Peterson, Percy Harvin, Jared Allen, Chad Greenway, right. Kyle Rudolph, one of your guys. It's not a full rebuild job, but you definitely needed to get younger.
Oh, yes, without a doubt. And we're pretty young at this stage in the game. And they're learning every time they go out on the field, and they're getting better. And the more reps they get at it, the more they see it, the better off we'll be.
Two-thirds of your stable, definitely very young. Kyle Rudolph and Rhett Ellison. Kyle, second year. Rhett's a rookie. John Carlson, the veteran. Let's begin with John. I talked to him a little earlier, talked about him a little earlier with head coach Leslie Frazier. And, you know, you guys are a play-by-play, game-by-game, week-by-week business. So there's not a lot of emotion that goes into it up to the game and immediately after the game. Very emotional during the game. But I genuinely feel bad for John Carlson. I mean, because I'm not going to forget, at Seattle, he was a pretty good tight end. And I know he's had some concussion and injury-related situations. But, man, he just got hurt at the worst time early in training camp when Christian Ponder was establishing the identity of what the offense was going to be.
Without a doubt, and we still think he's a great football player. He's just had the misfortune of he got hurt in training camp, and, you know, he missed a lot of time there, and then finally came back, and it was doing well when he came back. He just wasn't getting the ball, but he was playing well. With his opportunities, he did great when we had him in there, and then he had the setback here with the concussion. So we're just waiting to get him back, make sure he's cleared, he's good to go, and we'll find a way to get him involved.
Assuming he doesn't play this weekend, it just must bug him and just take bad and make it worse personally, because you're 5-3. And when I talk to John, he always comes back and says, we're 5-3. Okay. And there's still a lot of season left to do some stuff here. But you're going to Seattle, man, and Seattle's the team to let him go. I mean, you guys want to beat your former team more than anything.
Than anything. I can recall back when I was with Washington and left and went to the Detroit Lions playing free agency, and was looking at, you know, chopping at the bit to get back to the Redskins, which we played the next season.
Yeah.
So I understand wanting to get back at your former teammates.
You know, there was a moment in that San Francisco game, maybe the high point of the season so far, when you beat one of the better teams in the NFL, about just in closing on John, how things are going for John this year, because I remember a play where you guys got into the end zone. It was Christian's 23-yard run. And here's Carlson on the right side with Percy Harvin. You guys sell the screen to Percy, because that's what we do. But Patrick Willis doesn't bite on Percy. He stays with John. Right. You know, as John goes wheeling into the end zone.
Right.
And I watched that game back, and I'm like, even when they run a play for John where it looks like he's going to be the primary target in the end zone, it's Ponder who gets in, because Carlson's covered not by anybody, but by Patrick Willis.
Without a doubt. Yes, we had that play set up for depending on how they played it on defense, which they played the other way, and Ponder had to run with it. But had they not, the ball would have been going to John. So, misfortune for John in terms of not getting a ball, but good for the team because we scored a touchdown.
And he's a Litchfield, Minnesota native, so he always has a million people at the game. All right, let's move on. Seattle Seahawks, a team that definitely very physical in the secondary. We know that. They're very young up front. And Red Bryant's a nice defensive end, and they want to stop the run. How does this game play into your stable of tight ends, specifically with Kyle Rudolph and Rhett Ellison?
Oh, well, we have to be technically sound. You know, everybody knows the numbers. They've given up about 86 yards rushing. So for a defense to be giving up 86 yards rushing a game, you know they're pretty good up front and they're pretty stout. So for us, we have to be on point technically with our footwork, with our hand placement, with our hat placement, and always aggressive, and get after these guys so we can get some positive yards.
Jimmy Johnson, tight ends coach for the Vikings, is our guest on Vikings Live at Winter Park. Has Kyle improved in the running game from where he was last year?
Oh, without a doubt. You know how it is. You're just trying to feel your way when you're a rookie. And, you know, you probably come from a situation where you were the man, where you were the guy, and then you come in and you think you can play, but then you got to learn how to play the game at this level. And he's done a great job of doing that in regards of taking in the technique, taking in what we're asking him to do. And he's you know, 6'6 and 265, when that's hanging on you, it's hard to make a tackle when you got something that size, you know, blocking you. So he's doing a good job.
Why are his touches down over the last, say, three or four games?
You know, that's how the game goes.
Yep.
And sometimes he's going to be featured and get a lot of balls. And, you know, sometimes, you know, the quarterback is reading what he sees. You know, we have plays that are for Kyle, and the quarterback has his progressions that he go through, and it's just based off what the quarterback sees. So no one's frustrated. We feel good that we're going to have our opportunities before the season is said and done to make plays for this offense.
Christian and Kyle have a good thing late in games, too. You had that touchdown to tie it at Tennessee. And Christian and Kyle are so close that Christian's going to look for Kyle in the end zone, which surprises me sometimes defensively that they don't give Kyle more attention. You know what I mean?
Well, we're glad they're not giving him a whole lot of attention, so we hope that continues. But they have a good rapport. They tend to know where each other's at on the field, and hopefully that relationship will continue to grow and good things will happen from that.
What's next for Kyle Rudolph? You know, when you get inside the red zone, he's a lethal threat. He has 5 touchdowns, which is absolutely spectacular, and clearly he's twice the player he was last year playing in injury-free fashion. What's next?
Just continue to grow and get better, and I think he's doing that each and every week. Nothing he has to do, nothing extraordinary for us to be good or for us to be successful. He just needs to continue to play ball the way Kyle has been playing ball and can just continue to grow and get better.
Your rookie, Red Ellison, a couple of sneaky catches for X amount of yards. His yards per reception is pretty good. But I think, correct me if I'm wrong here, Jimmy, his crowning moment this year was in that 49ers game where obviously I'm not privy to the game plan, but in watching back the game, somebody told him to find Justin Smith and work on him and just keep working on that individual and let's neutralize him. We'll have other people work on Ray McDonald and then we'll deal with Alden Smith on the other side. So he's just a tough kid who seems like he buys into the game plan.
Without a doubt, he's extremely tough. He's extremely smart. He doesn't mind getting out the folks. So he's very aggressive, and we love that about him. So, in the San Francisco game, he got out to Justin quite a bit.
Best of luck this weekend, and thanks for the time, okay?
Thank you, Paul.
Jimmy Johnson, tight ends coach for the Minnesota Vikings. Mike Wabshaw from Vikings.com is coming up a little later, but when we return, we'll talk defense, Russell Wilson, and Wounded Warriors with Jared Allen on Vikings Live at Winter Park on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Vikings Live at Winter Park continues on the Vikings Radio Network. Welcome back. I'm Paul Allen, joined by the best pass-rushing defensive end in the National Football League. He's Jared Allen, number 69, is on Vikings Live at Winter Park. Hello.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
It certainly doesn't offend you to say the best pass-rushing defensive end in the National Football League, but if you really want to break it down, you got to talk about 4-3, then 3-4, and outside guys in the 3-4, and the fact that you pride yourself on being a complete player, where, yes, we had the 22 last year, and yes, you're on an influential run right now, sacking the quarterback, but you also want to be known as a guy who's pretty good against the run.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I try to have an all-around game, and, like I said, you have to stop the run before you can rush the passer. So, I consider myself a defensive player, not just a specialist.
Have you forgiven me for bleeping up that 2009 touchdown at St. Louis?
I forgave you the day it happened, Paul.
Really?
Yep.
When we were at Chad Greenway's gala, you killed me for 5 minutes in front of everybody overdoing it.
Yeah, I just like to make fun of you for it, but I still forgave you. You know, forgiveness. I had to forgive you so I could forgive myself.
But you understand why it happened. I mean, Heath Farwell played on defense so frequently.
Absolutely. I got it. I get it. And, now we're going to play. He's down in Seattle. So, just remember that he's not on the Vikings anymore. So if I happen to get a touchdown, you can't say Heath Farwell.
And I hope you get a touchdown. It was an out-of-body moment because I saw a white guy with a 9 on the right side of the back of his jersey.
And the first name that came to your mind was Heath Farwell. Yeah. I love it. I totally understand.
Yeah, during that awesome 2009 season. It'd be great if you get a touchdown. But you know what? You're sitting on 4 safeties. Okay.
I need one more. I know.
Yeah, I'm putting together my depth chart every week. Bottom right of the defensive side, Jared Allen, 4 safeties, next one NFL record. Yeah, I thought you were going to get in the Arizona Cardinals game with John Skelton being a little statuesque. Not Orlovsky statuesque, so he's going to run out of the end zone. But is this the kind of game where maybe you can get it against Russell Wilson?
You never know. We got to get him backed up, first of all. So I need Cluey to pin him deep back there, Yeah, because our kickoff team is not going to get one at the one, you know. So, you know, a lot of it starts with Cluey pinning them deep, and then, yeah, just kind of hopefully get after it. But, I mean, anything can happen in the game. You know, I prefer a fumble for a touchdown or something. The safeties are cool, too.
That'd be sweet. What happened to the run defense in the Tampa game?
You know what? Just fundamentally bad football. You know, too many guys were out of their gaps, missed tackles. And, you know, once that kind of starts to slide and you know, you can let a guy like that get ahead of steam, and you know, bad things are going to happen. And you know what? I mean, hats off to them. They came in, they played physical, and they kicked our butt. And, you know, I think the first step is admitting that, and now going back and fixing it. And, this week, everybody kind of owned up to it, and there's been a focus practice and focus on details of staying in your gap. And sometimes you get on a streak, and, you know, you're playing good overall D, and you let little things slide, and little things can become big things. And it showed that game, you know. But, hey, I'm glad it showed early and didn't rear its head for weeks and weeks. Now we got to correct it.
Interesting you would say that, because for the first five games of the season, and granted you've won one of the last two, but bottom line, in a bottom line business, is your 5-3. Is through the first five games, I'd look back at these games and go, wow, this is the best tackling Vikings defense I've seen in X amount of years. Where last year, it really, at all levels, with all due respect, left a lot to be desired at the end of the year. And it's also a team that does not commit many penalties. But over the last three games, the tackling has come back to the pack a little bit. How does that happen?
You know, it's just, it's wrapping up and getting a guy on the ground. Everybody's got to run to the ball. You know, sometimes you think, oh, a guy might be down. You might hesitate. And, you know, he obviously gets out. And, you know, you go back to that Arizona Cardinals game, and, you know, there was probably four times where it could have been a tackle for loss that, you know, he got around the edge. And that's just, and that comes down to everybody hustling to the ball and not assuming one guy's going to get him on the ground. And then it comes down to wrapping up. You can't look at a guy small and try to shoulder him to the ground. You know, you got to put people, you got to put people on the ground. And, you know, I have a feeling that no one's going to try to shoulder Marshawn Lynch to the ground this week. We're going to be wrapping up and flying around. Everybody's going to get to the ball and put a hat on him.
Jared, your last game was a week ago, and now you have the Seattle game this weekend. Was that kind of like a mini bye during a season where your bye seems like it's taking forever to get there?
Yeah, you know, I don't know if it was a mini bye because we had to play two games in 4 days to get it, you know, and so that compounds on you. I mean, it's hard enough to go Sunday to Sunday and to go Sunday to Thursday, but, you know, to have 2 days off, it really is nice, and you just try to rest up and get as much treatment as you possibly can. But you know, I guess you could call it a mini bye, but the bye week will be much much appreciated when it gets here.
Yeah, how is your body right now physically?
As good as it can be, you know, as good as it can be 9 years in at week nine. So, yeah, just, you know, typical bumps and bruises, but you push through.
Jared Allen's our guest on Vikings Live at Winter Park. Before we talk more about the Seattle game and take a look back at the season and preview the rest of it, your Wounded Warriors program has a very, very significant and big event coming up. Tell us about the event and also about the program.
Yeah, it's our very first Helping Heroes Gala, and it's November 9th here in, at the Hyatt downtown. And, you know, basically we're raising money for my foundation, which is Jared Allen's Homes for Wounded Warriors. And we raise money to retrofit houses or to build new houses, if case need be, for our returning wounded vets. And, you know, everybody, we go through the house, we make a handicap, you know, specific to their needs and, you know, just, you know, top to bottom, whatever their needs are, we go through and we retrofit it, you know, and we throw in extras. You know, we try to get as much cool stuff as there as we can. And, you know, my belief is that, you know, the first part of American dream starts a functional home. So when our men and women come home, if you're missing arms, legs, and you know, you have an upstairs apartment, you know, that doesn't work for you. You know, your daily life should not be, you know, there's going to be enough struggles. There's going to be enough things that they have to do therapies wise to get back to living a functional life. And their house should not be that, you know, it should not be an obstacle for them. So we come in and, work directly with the VA and we go through and, you know, we just, you know, get it done. It's my way of saying thank you. And, again, I think, it's a small thing we can do because, you know, they have enough things to worry about. They shouldn't have to worry about, you know, when they get home, you know, how am I going to get around?
Is there a website people can go to?
Yeah, if you go to homesforwoundedwarriors.com, all the information on our gala is right there. Even if you can't attend the event, you can go on there and donate, and it'll pop up at the event for our fund to build. We'll have, when the silent auction stuff is all put together, you can, you know, check out the silent auction stuff. You can download the app to bid on silent auction things. And then there's sponsorship levels still available. I think we probably have right around 50, 60 seats left.
Sweet.
So hopefully get those filled up. You know, I know it's a little expensive, but, you know, so is building houses. Yeah. and you know, we're just asking people to do what's in their hearts. And, you know, for me to thank you people for coming, I'm going to throw you a rocking good time. So my buddy James Otto is going to play during dinner. We got Gary Allen playing at the end of the night. And their auctioneers are cool. We got some really great auction items, some silent auction items, and there'll be some Vikings players there. It's going to be a good time.
Hey, do you ever get the opportunity, Jared, to see the finished product, see the houses, meet the wounded warriors who live in there?
Absolutely. It's not like, you know, I just don't write checks. You know, for me, it's got to be something personal. And, you know, when we elect a candidate, you know, a wounded warrior to get, you know, did redo his house, I called him personally. And, you know, we did a house here in Minnesota, our first one. And, you know, and then we just finished one in Arizona. And both Josh and Wes will be at the event. And so, you know, people that come, you can see them firsthand. And we're hoping to do 5 more houses this year. One way or the other, going to do it. If I got to write a check myself, it's going to get done. So, you know, my goal is to create this awareness. And, you know, when our men and women come home, the fight hasn't stopped. You know, some give all over there, and that is unfortunate, and we praise them, and, you know, we hold ceremonies for them. But the ones that come home that are wounded, they might have a tougher road than everybody. You know, you got to adjust to a life with no arms, no legs, and, you know, go from being independent to depending on other people. And so we step in to try to make it so that at least they can be independent at home and you know, they can live a quality of life.
And it certainly has to be very eye-opening for really everybody, but somebody as privileged as you, you know, where if you think for a second, hey, I'm going to complain about these little things, this person tailgating me right now, my neck hurts in the morning. You think about things like this and you realize really how blessed you are.
Oh, absolutely. And the coolest part about it is I say all the time, I get more out of it than they do, I think, because when you talk to them, they don't want pity. They don't want handouts. You know, they're appreciative that we're stepping in and helping them have a functional home. But their stories are more inspiring. You know, when I talked to Josh for the first time, he's talking to me about, you know, wanting to go back. He's going to go back to school. He wants to do this. And he still has his life planned out, you know. And I can't say I would be in the same way. I might be pouting in the corner, you know. But, you know, they're just inspiring. And to see the determination, the dedication that, hey, listen, I signed up for this. This ain't gonna hold me back. It's unfortunate, but you know, I'm still here and I'm still gonna push forward. They really do have warrior mentalities, and I look at them and I just, you know, again, you realize a bad day for us isn't that bad, you know what I mean? And so you really do appreciate the small things in life.
Jared, for you, what's it like being a dad?
Oh, it's the greatest thing on the face of the earth. You know, other than, you know, marrying my wife, there's no greater pleasure than coming home and seeing my little girl and her smile and getting to hold her. And, I mean, for me, it's the most joyous thing ever.
Seattle left tackle Russell Okung, from what I understand, he's having a pretty good year.
Oh, is he? I don't know. I just break it down. I don't know. You know, I think the guy from St. Louis got a couple on him. I don't know, but okay. I just watch film, and you know, they're doing some things, and the quarterback play from Russell Wilson is really helping their line out a lot because he creates windows and he creates things with his feet. So, you know, it's a tough challenge. You got to rush against a good tackle, and then you got to come back and rush against a scrambling quarterback. But you know, when I get out. Get more in depth in my film this week, and then we'll see how it plays out on Sunday.
Is Russell easy to run down? Do you see things with him that you see in rookie quarterbacks year after year?
Well, they're getting faster. Yeah. I prefer the ones that stand there and don't move. But they are. Dude, he's running all over the place, making throws down the field. I mean, he had a heck of a scramble against New England where he came and threw the ball across his body down the field, and I think it was like 60 yards. So they are a talented team, and they're playing good. But, you know, the engine that drives them is their run game. Mm-hmm. And we need to shut that down. And then, you know, just when we get a chance to rush Wilson, we got to contain him. And, again, it starts with beating the guy in front of you up front and then, you know, trying to get the quarterback on the ground.
Couple of quickies to close here for Jared Allen. Which guy was tougher to play and why, RG3 or Andrew Luck?
Oh, at least I sacked RG3. Andrew Luck, somehow, I think he greased his jersey up. I missed him twice. You know, RG3 obviously presents some things athletically that is just, I mean, athletically, he's probably tops in the league, you know, one of the guys. But, you know, for us, they ran that zone option and they had the play action pass off of it. And so for the second and third quarter, you know, before we got that figured out, it was kind of tough. So, yeah, they're both going to be good quarterbacks, but I'd say, you know, just from the the dynamics and the diversity, I think RG3 probably takes it.
We talked about that safeties record earlier. You're stuck on four. And you also haven't caught a pass in quite some time.
I know.
Since your Kansas City days, you had two touchdowns. I think your last one might have been from Damon Heward.
Yep.
You haven't caught a pass in a while. Do you ever tap on Bill Musgrave and say, hey, get me in there?
Every week. Every week I'm like, I'm available and my percentage is good. Two throws, two catches, two touchdowns. That's 1,000%. It doesn't get any better than that.
That's awesome, man. Hey, best of luck this weekend. Thanks for sharing on the Wounded Warriors program. Once again, what's that website?
It's homesforwoundedwarriors.com.
Fantastic. Thank
Appreciate
you, Jared. That's Jared Allen. I'm Paul Allen. This is Vikings Live at Winter Park on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. And welcome back to Vikings Live at Winter Park. It's our final segment. The NFL Films music brings us back. That's from the Vikings Entertainment Network. Mike Hiris on tuba, Jay Nelson on trombone, Ryan Cardinals playing the cymbal, and Jordan Strzok is the one handling the bass. The lead vocalist, had we had words, would be Mike Wabshaw from Vikings.com, who joins us weekly on Vikings Live at Winter Park. And he'll also be with yours truly tomorrow at Buffalo Wild Wings in Monticello for the Friday football feast. Paul Charchian from LeakSafe.com will be there. To find the complete schedule, please go to Vikings.com or on my show page, the Paul Allen Show page, at KFAN.com. Buffalo Wild Wings in Monticello tomorrow from 9 until noon, 9 a.m. until noon. And there we undoubtedly will talk about something I wrote about recently on my show page at KFAN.com, the Vikings rush defense, where we've given up, give or take, 10 or 20 yards, 463 rushing yards over the last three games, something like that, 483. And it's been the, sadly, and unfortunately, because nobody around here likes to talk about it, it's been the common thread on this show, you know, with Leslie Frazier and Jared Allen. Didn't bring it up with Jim Johnson. Jimmy Johnson, the tight ends coach, but it has to stop. I mean, the rushing defense has to improve now. The tackling has to improve now. And if it doesn't, then we're going to continue to lose games.
I think it will improve. You know, it's something that they worked on. Leslie called a practice on Monday, a scheduled practice on Monday, that where they worked on their what they call their run fits, which is basically this is where you go in against this formation when we call this defense against this run. You know, they went over all that.
The basics.
And I think that's go back to basics. We are going to be fine. We just have to do the fundamentals better. That happened on Monday. Wednesday, you get into the game planning and the tendencies and all that stuff. Okay. I think it's going to improve. Now,
that's excellent.
Now, the numbers aren't good. We allowed 3.1 yards per carry, Paul, through the first five games. In the last three, it's gone up to 4.7. So jeez. One touchdown, rushing touchdown allowed in the first five games. I think it's three or four in the last three games. So you're right. It has to turn around. And it has to turn around soon because you're going up against the number two runner in the NFL, Marshawn Lynch. Only Adrian Peterson has more rushing yards than Marshawn. And we've heard Ben Lieber talk about it, taping Vikings game plan. You and I talked to Bursich, who's elite. You've had this entire show, and people are talking about Marshawn Lynch and the combination of speed and size and power. And it's no joke. He has that, and Seattle relies on him, and I think the best statistic that illustrates that is the fact that their quarterback, Russell Wilson, only has 30 passing attempts or more twice this season, and they lost both of those games.
Yep.
So the bread and butter for them is Marshawn Lynch. There's no disputing that, and Seattle wouldn't try and dispute it. It's very much like the Vikings. The bread and butter is Adrian Peterson. There's no doubt about that, and so it's going to be a fun game on Sunday.
Excellent takes, because both of those games were on the road at Arizona and at Detroit. Russell Wilson throws for the rookie from Wisconsin throws for more than 30 times, and they lose both games.
Right.
So for rubes like us, man, that indicates if they have two receivers and two tight ends and Marshawn Lynch or that I formation with Michael Robinson, a Pro Bowler, by the way, very underrated player, Michael Robinson, with Marshawn Lynch, flood the box, single Sidney Rice, Golden Tate, let Greenway handle Zach Miller because he's very good in man coverage on tight ends, and just absolutely obliterate Marshawn Lynch and make your cornerbacks perform in single coverage.
I mean, this, you know, we're in the NFL. They're getting paid too, so it's hard to cover up everything. You have to go with what you think gives you the best chance. And you're not, it's not so much that you're betting that Russell Wilson can't beat you, or that the opponents aren't necessarily betting that Christian Ponder can't beat them, but you're just saying it's not going to be Marshawn Lynch, and they're saying it's not going to be Adrian Peterson.
Yep.
You know, they're going to go with what they think gives them the best chance. The Vikings are going to do the same thing, and it's no disrespect to Russell Wilson. I was down at the Senior Bowl in Mobile this offseason where Leslie Frazier and his staff coached the North team. Russell Wilson was the quarterback and the team captain. You heard Leslie talk about him. I mean, the guy's got charisma. He's got a strong arm. He played shortstop in the major, or not in the big leagues, but he was on a major league roster. And, yep. I mean, so the guy has a good arm. He can move and scramble, and the thing about Russell is when he escapes the pocket, he escapes the pocket to throw, not to run.
Really?
And what happens...
Different than RG3.
Yes. And what happens, though, is if you're a cornerback trying to guard one of these receivers and the quarterback gets out of the pocket, it's really easy for the receiver to become uncovered. I mean, you can only guard a guy for so long. So Russell Wilson is dangerous that way, but I think you have to put the game in his hands because he is less proven than Marshawn Lynch.
Give me some more on the Seahawks and specifically ways the Minnesota Vikings can win this game.
Well, I think they're pretty good on the edge defensively. I'm talking about Seattle's defense. I think they're good on the edge. They got those big corners. I like those guys a lot. Big 6'3", 6'4", corners and safeties. I like them. And I think they're good at defensive end with Chris Clements. He has 8 sacks. He had 4 against the Packers, so I think they're good there. And then they have Bruce Irvin who comes in off the bench, and he has 4 sacks. So I like them on the edge. So for me, looking at the Vikings offense, I like attacking the middle of this Seattle defense.
Yeah.
And I think you do that with Kyle Rudolph. I think you re-engage him in the offense. Obviously, teams have been trying to take him away. They've done a good job of that the last 3 games. Kyle had 5 touchdowns early in the season, and he's kind of cooled off since then. So I think you find a way to get Kyle open, uncover him. You'd like to open up the underneath for Percy Harvin, but you can't count on that because you know teams are going to try and stop him. Maybe you get the running backs involved in the passing game in the middle of the field. Remember that? I think they call it an angle route that Toby Gerhart ran in the preseason where he's in the backfield. Against Buffalo. He darts out right and then angles his way back to the middle of the field. Maybe you do that with the running backs. You get the tight ends involved. Maybe Jerome Felton can get involved. Something in the middle of the field in the passing game. That's what I like because I have so much respect for Seattle on the edges of this defense.
Do things unpredictably, and you obviously cannot avoid the outside because then you'll become one-dimensional,
right,
and it'll be
right.
The easiest thing in the world to shut down. So, yeah, we should definitely do things through the second half of the season that we have not done through the first half so that, therefore, you don't have any tells and you're not predictable. In other words, how about this? Let's throw the ball to Jerome Simpson.
Yeah.
We haven't done that much, and he has no touchdowns, so... I vote for getting Jerome Simpson into the mix. What about you?
I'll vote for that as well. I mean, and what you're going to see, Paul, is when you're calling the game with Bursich, I mean, you're going to see Seattle put 8 guys in the box. We hear that all the time. You're going to see a lot of single high safety from Seattle where they're going to leave Earl Thomas kind of to play center field at safety in the middle of the field, and their other safety, Chancellor, he's going to come up and play the run. He's basically going to be, like Leslie said earlier, he's going to be an extra linebacker. The guy's 6'3", 6'4", so he basically is a linebacker.
Yep.
And they're going to try and stop Adrian. So you're going to have probably a lot of man coverage on the outside, and you're going to have a single high safety. So if you can button up your pass coverage, put a hat on a hat, as the coaches like to say, and make sure you're not fooled by some of these stunts that the Seattle defensive linemen like to do so much, get all that covered up, and you can protect and create a pocket for Ponder. You can get Christian to step into the pocket instead of move out of the pocket. I think you're going to have some chances with one-on-one coverage down the field. I like Jerome Simpson in one-on-one coverage down the field. He took apart Bentley from the Lions, got a couple pass interference penalties, a huge catch late in the game. I like Percy Harvin if they're going to try and man him up. So I think there's going to be opportunities, but you got to find the right balance. You got to run the ball because I think this is a defense that can be run on. Teams have not tried to run the ball very much on Seattle. They've had 305 passes thrown against them, only 180 rushes against them.
Wow.
So I'd like to see the Vikings challenge this rushing defense.
2/3 of the plays? Well, I have a take on that. Hold on. Mike Wobshaw, Vikings.com. Only 3 home games left, but they're all good. Detroit, Chicago, and Green Bay. Great seats are available for those games. Go to Vikings.com/tickets or call Ticketmaster at 800-745-3000. That two-thirds pass against one-third run against Seattle's defense, a minute and change to go. That's an indicator of exactly what you said early in the conversation. They flood the box.
Yep.
They have a million guys around the line, and they're like, you know what? We have these creatures for corners on the outside. We don't believe you're going to be able to get off the jam because they're so strong and so physical. If you can, good luck.
Yeah, I think you're right. And now, but what I don't want to do is go too heavy on the passing, because in that Arizona game that we won, and our defense played so well, and Adrian had like 150 yards, I think there was 50 more yards out there for Adrian in the second half. So I don't want that to happen again. I want to pound them with Adrian Peterson, because I think our running game is better than their rushing defense. But you don't want to continuously bash your head against the wall. So you got to pick your spots in the passing game. I think the key is for Christian to recognize the single high safety, get us in the right protection, be confident in the pocket, step up, and find a receiver on the outside who beats one-on-one coverage.
Excellent work, as usual, and I will see you tomorrow at Buffalo Wild Wings Monticello. You're on at 10:15.
I think we have to leave like after the show to get there in time.
Well, don't discourage those from the Metro. They don't want to. No, man, they're supposed to think it's Minnetonka.
Okay. It's a good party, though. I've heard you talk about Monticello before.
Buffalo Wild Wings Monticello tomorrow for the Friday Football Feast. The executive producer of the Vikings Entertainment Network is Brian Harper. The executive producer of the Vikings Radio Network is Chad Abbott. The on-site producer, Jay Nelson. The producer of this show is Joe Nelson. And for all of us here with the Minnesota Vikings, I'm Paul Allen. That's Vikings Live from Winter Park on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network.